Thanks for downloading this IMSA Radio podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by visiting IMSAradio.com or search for IMSA Radio wherever they get their podcasts.
This is IMSA Radio.
Are singing, the race cars are warming up as they go out for their media photo shoot laps. It is day one of 2022 for IMSA. Hi everyone, I'm Shay Adam, and I can't explain how happy I am to be able to say to you guys, I am in the World Center of Racing, Daytona International Speedway. First time back to the circuit since 2020. Some things have changed, some of the protocols are different as far as COVID-19 is concerned, and trying to make sure that everyone stays safe for yet another racing season. But it is a beautiful day here in Daytona. This is my day to have a bit of fun and talk with a bunch of old friends. Just a word off the bat, things might sound a little bit muffled. That is because inside the Daytona 500 Club, where I will be conducting interviews all day, masks are required. So the noises might sound a little bit different than they have before. But outside in the glorious air where I am right now, about 150 feet away from the start-finish line, pit lane is bustling and people are smiling. It is a wonderful thing to be able to go racing again. Let's kick things off as our first interview victim, I mean subject, is set to come through here in just a few moments' time.
Racing on America's classic circuit. This is IMSA Radio.
First interview of the year.
First interview of the year. Ben Bartico, welcome to IMSA. First time to Daytona. What'd you think driving in through the tunnel?
I mean, it's amazing. I was lucky enough to come here and test early December last year. So, you know, not too many firsts for me this weekend. At least I know the car and the track. But, I mean, yeah, I'll never forget that first time driving here. I hope to race here many more times to come. But it's always the first time you enter a venue like this that it's so special.
And now you're part of the Lexus family, driving with Jack Hawksworth. I know he's been doing a lot to try and help indoctrinate you to American culture, dirt biking, all that kind of stuff. How have you been feeling so far in the States?
To be honest, I'm absolutely loving my time here. You know, I was fortunate enough to spend a little bit of time here last year with the Indy 8 Hour and Petit Le Mans in my previous, previous role. But, you know, I've felt very welcome and I've been let in with open arms into the Lexus family. I'm absolutely, you know, thoroughly enjoying my time here so far. You know, I've already spent a good couple of weeks at the facilities in Charlotte and, know all the members of the team. So, you know, I don't really, although it is a new and a first race for me with a new team, it doesn't really feel like that at the moment. They've been great in welcoming me in and I feel ready and up for the challenge. Jack's been great, you know, obviously great having a fellow Brit in the car. But he's, you know, it's quite funny actually. We talk about all the racing we've done and, he's not really done anything in Europe. You know, he spent almost all of his career here. So it's quite interesting, you know, the contrast that we've got there. But in the sense that he's got so much experience here, I'm very well prepared with that knowledge that he's been giving me.
What has he told you about racing in America that's got you most excited for the year upcoming?
I think that, you know, there's many aspects to it. You know, the tracks are very different, a lot more old school. To be honest, quite similar to the tracks we have in the UK. Mm-hmm. So that's something that really excites me, you know, just for the pure enjoyment of driving for a start. But then I think when it comes to the racing, just the strategy is so much more open here and you have so many more options. I think in especially the SRO series in Europe, you know, the strategy is very much fixed, especially in the endurance races. You can't really, you know, roll the dice and take a big risk, which you can do here. So, you know, that's extremely exciting and something I'm looking forward to.
There's a lot of cars in your class for Daytona only. There's about half of them that are going to be sticking around for the full season. So looking forward to a championship, how much does that enter your mentality going into Daytona?
We're here for the full season, here for the championship. So, you know, I think, as you said, there's so many cars, 61 cars in total. So a lot of this race is just keeping it clean and getting to the end. Because with there being so many cars, if we have a bad finish, you know, we're going to lose a lot of points. So I think, you know, anyone coming here is going to tell you that they want to win. But I think when we're going, we've got to have that championship mindset in sight. And, you know, definitely be erring a little bit on the side of caution while still doing the best we can.
how much are you going to be able to use the sister car? Because this is the first time ever where the two Lexuses have been separated, different categories, in effect.
Well, yeah, they are separated. We are in different categories, but the way that the BOP and everything's being handled, you know, we're still on the exact same level of performance as such. So, to be honest, I think, you know, I wasn't a member of the team last year, so I didn't see how well the two cars work together. But, you know, I'd imagine that it looked like a relationship they had working very well. And I think that's not going to change until the point where they maybe split the BOP for the two classes. If that does happen, right up until that moment, we'll be working all together and all pushing for the same goal, which is the most performance from our car.
We've seen strategies in the past where one driver qualifies and one driver finishes for the shorter races, obviously not for Daytona. Have you and Jack talked at all about that going forward for the whole season?
Yeah, it's something we spoke about. Obviously, you know, I came from a great run last year in Europe where I was able to get a few pole positions and whatnot in GT World Challenge Europe. You know, so I think the idea is that we'd ideally split them. You know, we're hoping that we're both going to be on a very similar level and pushing each other. So I think we're both very open. We both know we're professionals and we'll just do whatever's best for the team. If Jack's quicker one weekend, he'll probably qualify. And if, you know, whatever's best for the team is what we'll do. You know, I certainly won't hold any grudges if he qualifies more than me, because at the end of the day, I just want to do as good as I can and win the championship, and we'll do whatever's the best for that.
I mean, Jack's got 5 or 6 poles in this series, so he knows how to get it done in qualifying too. It's going to be exciting to see you guys duking it out. Just a random question. Do you ever do any online racing? Have you done any of the American tracks on a virtual circuit?
Yeah, I've done pretty much all of them, to be honest, on iRacing. I think we all did during lockdown of 2020. So, yeah, I've got an idea of what they all look like, you know, but it always changes a little bit. But I think that's one good thing that's come out of esports, especially, you know, things like iRacing. We all know where the tracks turn left and right, and that's a big part of it. You know, if you've got that in, and then it's all about figuring out the little bumps and whatnot. So, I'm going to be as well prepared as I can be, but, you know, it's never... Nothing beats actually driving on these tracks, and with them being such high risk and ballsy tracks as such, nothing's going to beat the track time. But, you know, it's a challenge. I'm ready for it, and really looking forward to getting going with the season.
And which is the track that you're looking forward to the most? We do have some great ones on the schedule.
I was lucky enough to race at Mosport in 2017 with Pirelli World Challenge, so I'm really looking forward to going back there. I really enjoyed that one. But then, you know, I've got new tracks that I'm also looking forward to, like Road America, Mid-Ohio. I think Road America looks like it's a great car for Lexus, so I'm really looking forward to going back there.
Yeah. Well, you just made a ton of fans in Canada, so Ben, thank you so much for the chat, and we'll see you throughout the year.
No, thank you.
2021, arguably, the year of Jan Halen. It was a decent year for him, getting married, winning first ever championship, and then backing it up with another 2 on the year in IMSA. Just incredible. How do you top that, Jan?
Yeah, I think it's hard to top, but incredible season, and very thankful for for the opportunity, and it's fun to, I was just saying, like it's fun to have been, you know, with the same team for almost 7 years now, and to ride the highs and the lows, and to see where we started and where we are today is just a great accomplishment, not just for me but for the whole team. And I think everybody in racing knows it's some years, you know, between the car, you know, car BOP driver lineup, I mean, you name it. There's so many, and you know, then there's a ton of luck involved. There's so many things that have to come together to win a race, let alone a championship. So to win 3 in a season is, with the Porsche Cup included, 4, you know. But no, that's just, it's unbelievable. So really happy. And that puts us in a good spot for this year. And I'm super excited about, you know, the amount of cars we have here in Daytona. I think as a driver, that's everything you want, right? It's more competition. So, I'm really looking forward to this weekend. And... hopefully we can stay on the same track as last year.
You have so many starts in Porsches at Daytona. What is it about this track and that brand that just seem to go well together?
I think as for Porsche, as for the team, I think it all comes down to experience, right? And between the drivers, the team, the brand, the more you do it, you know, the better you get. Just really... It's about the team, you know, the team behind the brand, and that's on the manufacturing side as well as on the team side at the track. And yeah, I think they always manage to show up with good teams and good driver lineups, and Seems to pay off. But yeah, I know that I think we're as well prepared as we've ever been. So hopefully we can, you know, put ourselves in a place to compete for the win again.
Yeah. Compared to last year, you've gotten rid of Patrick Long and you've replaced him with Richie Leitz. That's not too bad, actually, when you think about it that way. We were all sad when Patrick decided to retire, but getting Richie, is that going to be an advantage for you guys?
Yeah, I think first, also, back to Patrick, it's been, just a really cool journey. I've getting to know him at such a young age, and for us to be best friends and then end up in the same team, you know, after all these years. And then winning Sebring and then doing all of last year together was really special. And Patrick's had a phenomenal career, and so glad to have been a small part of it. And now it's fun to have Richard and Patrick. They're good friends, so it's really nice to have Richard in the car. I think the whole team's excited to have him being a part of the team, because in many ways Richard and Patrick are similar in their level of experience and the amount of times they've done, you know, they've started here at Daytona. So just a solid lineup, solid guy, and he's a great personality too, so he'll be a good fit for the team.
And then another year with Bobby V and Johnny Wright. It's a potent combination for you across many different platforms. What's it like working with those two guys?
Yeah, I mean, it's been great. Like I said, seven plus years now. So 7 years of them believing in me and me, like I said, sticking with them as they've done with me through the highs and the lows. And could not dream of being with a better team. I mean, they're a good team, but they're also a good family, and they've become dear friends. So it definitely changes that the dynamic, you know, of coming to the track and what it was maybe 20 years ago when you were younger versus how we show up now. And love every minute of it.
Full season this year in GTD. Where is going to be your strongest track in the Wright Motorsport Porsche?
I mean, history tells us that that Daytona is a pretty good track for us. So we've hit every spot on the podium except for the top step. So we're going to try again. I think looking at the driver lineups and the BOP, I think, you know, this year could be a very strong year for Porsche in general. So hopefully we can come out on top, but Sebring's been good to us. I think, you know, there's definitely tracks that I look forward to maybe more than others. I'm especially excited for Daytona. Sebring, Lime Rock is always one of my favorites. Virginia, and then going back to Long Beach for me, where I did my very first year race in the U.S. That's special to me too. So just to name a few, but I mean, there's no bad races, if you ask me.
Well, I'll be talking to you at all of them. Good luck, Jan.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Full Season IMSA, Sebastian Bourdais. A pretty cool thing to be driving for Chip Ganassi again, but even better, top car and with Ranger van der Zanden. That is just cool.
Yeah, and Scott and Alex, and yeah I mean, it's quite incredible effort, which obviously puts a lot of expectations on the board, but, you know, as a professional race car driver, you kind of have to deal with that. If we're just kind of giving ourselves the best chance to get another Rolex, so it's always really exciting to approach a race weekend or a season in general in those circumstances.
Yeah. I've been talking to a lot of drivers so far today, and a couple of them were completely unabashed at saying Sebring is the biggest race that you want to win. You got that win last year in the overall class. Did that give you any extra confidence that you can still do this and you can still beat up these other people?
I think the day I feel like I can't do that, I'll probably hang up the helmet. So, no, I wouldn't say it's changed the way I feel about things, but obviously there are so many things that come into play, to be a contender, win race, even more championships, that, you know, that's the more uncontrolled environment. I think the reason why I took on the offer with Chip and Cadillac is obviously because it was just too good to pass on. I mean, you can try and milk another couple of seasons in IndyCar with all of the uncertainty of the program, which, you know, I mean, all credit to Larry. I mean, he's trying really hard, but it's always very hard to kind of regrow a program when the finances are not super secured and there are a lot of uncertainty about the programs. And so for me, you know, we had that discussion and quite early last year in July or whatever, you know, I was like, man, I can't pass on that. And that's what led me, you know, back here, and the perspectives of obviously endurance racing are amazing in the, you know, very short term now. It's the last year for that current generation of cars, and then we're going into that new era of LMDH and hypercars, which is going to see over 20 cars for overall victory at Le Mans, and hopefully here as well. And, I just felt like passing up on that was just not a really good life or career choice, really.
Well, and correct me if I'm wrong, but Chip Ganassi and sports cars, that does feel a bit like home for you. It's been a very successful marriage.
Yeah, I mean, we've enjoyed the, you know, 3.5 great years.
Yeah.
I couldn't be happier to you know, be back in that organization with a lot of familiar faces and knowing how high the standards are and what a great, you know, group of people it is, led with really top class people that have only one goal. It's to put on the best effort in the racetrack and win and really give themselves that chance. Like, it's not just words, you know. It's like they put on the effort from financial to human to technical resources. There's not a whole lot that's left out. So, you know, it's very appealing as a race car driver to be able to do your job in those circumstances. It's pretty sweet to just show up and do your job, you know.
Now, I was in the garage in 2016 when your car crossed the line and you became a Le Mans winner with Chip and your dad. And just the emotion of that, how much of that is the draw to get to go back in a top class and go for another win in that race?
My Le Mans history is pretty sour, you know. I mean, obviously winning that race with the GT program and Chip, and although it really wasn't that great a race for me, like, personally, I didn't like the car so much at that point. Dirk was kind of the standout. We kind of did our thing with Joey, but Dirk was like clearly the go-to guy, and I actually didn't do the last rotation. It was like, no, you're good, just go win that race, buddy, it's all yours. He definitely had figured the car, something with the car that, you know, made him very special that year. And it was still early, very early days, you know. We, like, handling wise the car was definitely not at its prime. It's the only time we ever had proper power in it, but you know, that was before they BOP'd the thing, and then that was it. But you know, it's my history at Le Mans is still very sour, because, like, okay, we won that, you know, historical comeback, and it's just awesome to have been a part of that, you know, with Ford and you know, on the return, and with all the legacy that's behind it and what it meant to the family. And it was just, you know, it was so much greater than just one person, my personal history with the race and everything else. It was just like I had no qualms about just telling, like, no, I'm not that great this weekend, just he finishes the race, fine. Like, don't, like, they were trying to find ways to tell me, like, hey Seb, you know what about if we put Dirk back in the car? I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, he's been, like, clearly better. Just put him and let him finish the race. So at that point, you know, that's one thing, and I always cherish that memory. But, man, 09 and 10 and 11 with Peugeot, you know, was just a massive heartbreak, you know. I mean, just missing out on overall victory for me at Le Mans will remain one of those, yeah, very, very painful memories, and for different reasons. But, you know, 07 finishing second was far above expectations, and all subsequent years were just heartbreakers. So, to be able to hopefully come back in 23 and beyond, you know, I don't know if the BOP will be favorable and will be, you know, in the mix for a win, but I know that group and I know obviously Cadillac's ambitions, and we're just going to go at it and give it our best shot. And it's really cool at, you know, 44 years old when, you know, we come back hopefully in 23 that, you know, I'll be able to give that another go and hopefully correct history, you know.
Well, you and Ranger both have not had the expectations of Le Mans. It's been cruel to him as well, so hopefully both of you can get that unfinished
it's
business out of the way.
It's a cruel race in general. You know, racing is very cruel in general, yeah. But yeah, this one for particular reasons, sometimes it seems like it's picked its winners many times, and yeah. It seems to be like the same kind of guys that just, you know, like I've had my fair share of successes at Sebring and Daytona, but like yeah. Le Mans has always been very good at eluding me, yeah. So...
So looking at this season, looking at a full season of DPI with Ranger, how excited are you?
I'm very excited. I think he's a really easygoing guy. He's figured that thing out really well, yeah. And he's been spectacular in that Cadillac DPI. So yeah, really, really excited to be teaming up with him and getting that season underway. I think we're on for a good year. Last year they showed a ton of speed, and for one reason or another it would never really seem to come together. They only had one win, which when thinking about it you're like, oh, that happened. But yeah, I think this year we're on for a really good ride, and I mean you never know how it's going to turn out, but I think it's got all the good vibes to it.
Yeah. Best of luck to both of you. Hopefully it's a lot of podiums and a lot of wins.
Yeah, thanks.
Well, Philippe Albuquerque, you now officially have more Rolexes than arms, so what would you do potentially with the fourth one?
Well, that's true, but the fun fact is that I don't have any, because I gave them all. So I still need to, I think maybe that's my ambition, so I need always more. Mm-hmm. So two I give to my daughters, and well, when I won the first one, it was going to be to my daughter. Then the second one was the year that my daughter was born, so it's great. Then the third one I give to my manager that I was promising one. Mm-hmm. And then the fourth, maybe I'm going to give it a go in. So, oh well, I need to keep winning.
You're making perpetual incentive for yourself to always keep winning them if you keep giving them away.
Exactly. I think maybe that's the motivation. I want a Rolex because I have three, but I don't. You know, I want three, but I don't have any.
That is brilliant. Being back at home, thinking about this race for the off season. Yeah, it's a short off season, but this is your ambition, is it not?
It is, and I did a post about saying the holidays are over. Yes, you know, because I think when we are racers, we started as a hobby, and you know, and I love racing, and I think Daytona, I think it's so unique and so special because it's the first race of the year. It's great to be home for Christmas and New Year's. And it's nice, and especially now that the roar is moved for later on, it just creates more appetite to come over. And you stay more time at home, and like, no, I just want to go over, like new helmet, new gloves, new race suits, the car is shiny, it's perfect. So all that thing together, it's just Christmas again. So it's beautiful, and I never get tired of it. It's going to be my 10th Daytona, I believe. So it's awesome, and I love to be here, so...
So 9 Daytonas and 3 Rolexes, that's a really good track record coming in.
Yeah, it is. And I still say to Ricky that he still stole me one. So, yeah, it is. It's a good record. So, and 1 second, it's good. But, you know, we need to... I think the crazy part is that I already forget that I won the last year. Yeah. So it means I need to go again. The pressure is exactly the same.
Yeah. This year, though, there is a bit more familiarity. Same team, same co-driver. Yes, you don't have Elio in the car, you have Will Stevens, but everything else, it feels like it did when you won, didn't it?
Yes. I mean, yes and no. So I think the knowledge that I have from the car, me and especially Wayne Taylor, it just links a lot more and makes us more comfortable with it. Last year, I remember that I went for the qualifying for the Roar, to learn the car. It was my first time ever with new tires, low fuel, and it was like, what is happening here? So I was really lost
in everything. So in the rain as well, that it rained on the race. So I was just improvising constantly. So, but in the end of the day, I think we did a hell of a race last year. I mean, I don't think we were the fastest, but we put like the perfect race. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you are more prepared than we are, but does not mean that the end result will be better. You know, we're not going to be winning by 10 seconds. Mm-hmm. It can be even worse, or it can happen something, some mechanical failure or whatsoever. And even from the side of the mechanics and the Wayne Taylor, that they are more ready this year, but it can happen something that break down. But and they know more about the car. So it's, I think that's the thing, that no matter how prepared and how good the drivers are, yes, it narrows you down the probability to win. But still, there is still a percentage of luck that, or you cannot have bad luck.
Absolutely.
That makes you strive and win this race or any 24 hour that is so special. Especially this year when we have 61 cars.
Yeah. Well, and on that, because I was going to go for a different question, but on that note, how important does the qualifying become for the Roar? Because if you get the first pit box, you've got to clean in every time. And that's something no other DPI would get.
Yeah, I still think that it's mainly it's for the pit box than the starting position.
Oh, for sure.
But you can see the two sides of it. I mean, yeah, entering maybe, but you can go wide and pass and enter still. But being on the last, you can come, you know, take your fuel rig out when the other one is coming on.
Yep.
So it's dictating when you should get out.
Absolutely.
So you can see pros and cons. So I will prefer still the old-fashioned way of, you know, who was the winner of the last championship starts on the first qualifying pit box, because it's not going to be down to this race. Like, it means nothing. Like, why should you put risks on this? Like, and especially with this bus stop where you have the sausage and you can risk a tub.
Yeah.
So I don't agree, but it's the rules and I go along. But I just don't emphasize that.
Yeah. You bring up another good point. The new curbing at the exit of the bus stop, what's that like to run over with the car this year?
I mean, I agree for that for the last stint. Because I remember to be looking at Ringer on my mirrors. And I remember to look in one way and it was like a car inch further left. Because he was just using the whole curve on the exit. Which is a fair point. I mean, it's again. And then I started to do it. Because, I mean, everything counts, right? So this year, no one will be doing that. So it'd be going to be stopping us. But sometimes we do have a moment going there. It's funny. It's like I never did track limits there, like in terms of going beyond on where the curb is. But now knowing there is a curb there, maybe I'm going to bite it. It sounds silly, but it's like that, right? And many times we go so much on a limit. But it's going to be interesting to see who is the first one to do a mistake.
Yeah, and that will wind up in the outside wall inevitably when that happens.
Yeah, you're going to get hurt, and the car is going to be a huge damage. But again, it's like Ricky was saying, it's a wall, but it's not a wall. Mm-hmm. It's a wall, but you don't see it.
Yeah.
But the damage will not be exactly the same. It will end your race. It will probably end your chassis, and that's it.
Okay, now back to the question I had before. Endurance champions last year, that stemmed from this race. That's where it all began.
Yes.
It's incredible to think that you guys got that when your competition finished second and third in all of the endurance races, but you guys still ultimately won the cup at the end of the year. How good is Wayne Taylor at the endurance races? How does he do it?
Yeah, I mean, again, goes down to being consistent. Mm-hmm. I think we were really consistent last year. I think we nearly made it all, like Daytona, the endurance, and we missed by 1 point or 10 points, 11 points.
Yeah.
But it was good to have that thing in the pocket, and it was nice. But I think, again, I don't think we are thinking about that championship when you're in Daytona. You are mainly doing it for the sake of the entire, but yeah, if you're around that, yeah, for sure you want to score more points as possible.
It'd be cool to get a clean sweep this year, first in every segment, and of course that would mean 4 wins in the endurance races. Do you think this is the team to do it?
To be honest, it's not my concern at all. It's clearly like my main goal is to win, and I will compromise whatever I have to get the Daytona win. And then we will see what comes along.
Yeah. Well, good luck getting that watch finally for you. Exactly. I mean, we'll see if it sticks, but
maybe it's not for me again. I don't know. We will see.
Yes! Oh, yes! IMSA Radio, your route to American sports car racing.
Lucky number 99 for Team Hardpoint this year. Rob Ferriel and Cat Legg back again, the dynamic duo, the Porsche. But you've got Nick Bull and Steph Wilson joining you in this car. I don't know if you guys are aware, but Nick Bull is kind of good here in a Porsche. It's a good silver to get. And then you throw in Steph Wilson. Rob, how did you put all this together?
It was a work in progress that started late last summer going into the fall and then through the off season. You know, we wanted to try to get obviously a very good competitive lineup, but we also wanted an interesting lineup. And I think, you know, Steph coming over from Indy, he's got his own story. You know, 10th anniversary of his brother winning the race, the Wilson family, his relationship with Catherine. And then independently we started talking to Nick, and it wasn't until after we did the contract with Nick that we found out that Nick and Steph had actually driven together before as well. So serendipitously, it came to this conclusion of four drivers, you know, three of which, you know, have had these paths that have crossed, and then it made for an interesting story, an interesting team, and I think it's going to be a competitive team.
And from your perspective, this is the first year back with the Porsche, so it's the same platform. You know the races at this point because you've done them for a season. Are you expecting a lot more of the results?
Yes. So for me, it's great because this is the first time I've come back to WeatherTech in the same car. Mm-hmm. And frankly, it's the first time I've come back to a second season in the same car since I drove Cup a few years back. Every year since Cup, I've driven a different car. And so it's been a cold start each year to learn a new platform, in some cases learn a new series. So to come back in the Porsche, same car, we've made some investments in engineering and other areas of the team. And then to come back with Catherine, I think this will be a really good sophomore year for us.
And Kat, you come back with the same team. You've got that familiarity. You're not learning new people. You know your co-driver. That's going to be so comforting for you.
Yeah, it's nice. And it's the only time I've ever had success is in like year two or year three with a team too, really. You know, the first year you kind of all meld together. And this is it's going to be my 10th Daytona. I know, I feel old. But no, we've made leaps and bounds of improvements with the team, and I'm so proud of them because they were brand new last year. So everybody has worked really, really hard. And like I always say, the team has so much heart and they have so much passion. They really want to win, and we need to give them that well-deserved podium that they have earned at this point. Like, as Rob said, we've made so many improvements all the way around that I feel excited and buoyed by the prospect of this year. And with Porsche, you know, it's to be representing such a iconic brand is important too, and it means a lot.
We have a guy on our organization, Paul Truswell, who loves a white Porsche. He said they tend to win these endurance races. You guys went with a slightly different livery than last year, but it's still that beautiful white Porsche. Do you enjoy that, Rob? Because I remember back to your Cup days, they were pretty similar, weren't they?
They were. My second year in Cup, I did a red, white, and black grid rival car, and that was the year that, you know, I made a valiant push for the championship. And maybe there's a little bit of serendipity to that, too.
Kat, you know how important it is to score good points going into a championship, to be consistent. There's a lot of cars in the class this year. There could be a big span between full championship season cars and then the one-offs that come in and sneak things up. How important is it for you guys to finish ahead of not only your full season competitors, but those one-offs to try and build a gap?
I haven't looked at it in those terms specifically. All we can do individually is the best job that we can do at the time, and then we end up where we end up. It's really going to be tough this year because not only have you got the GT, you've also got the same BOP as the pro cars, and there are some really good driver lineups in both. So it's probably the most competitive GT year ever in IMSA, and it just keeps getting stronger and stronger every year in terms of number of cars and the teams that are running those cars and just basically world-class efforts. And so for us, it's first about finishing, obviously. To get points, you need to finish the races. But then it's about building on what we've already built and trying to achieve result after result after result. You don't win a championship by winning a race and then DNFing the next three. So I keep trying to tell myself and Rob that, you know, to finish first, you have to finish. And so we need to keep building on that and giving the team the results. But we are pretty determined to get on the podium this year. It eluded us last year, and I feel like we had some really strong performances and some that were a little bit on the weaker side. But we learned a lot as a team, and we are moving forward in that direction. So that is the goal. I don't know where that puts us. I guess we'll see here in a few days. Hopefully it's good enough.
Well, and on that, looking back at last year, what is the track for each of you that you are most excited for another go at?
Detroit.
Yeah. Kat?
Well, it's not Mid-Ohio, let me tell you that.
I think we were really strong on the road courses last year, Detroit and Long Beach.
Yes.
And then there were some other strong performances, like we had the speed at Laguna. For me, I think it's just as much about building up the tracks that we were terrible at, like Mid-Ohio, we were completely lost and out to lunch. So I'm excited for the street courses, but I'm also excited to go back and prove that we can get this done and do better at the other places too.
Yeah, multiple podiums this year for you guys.
Multiple.
Good luck.
That would be lovely.
It is so nice to see Earl Bamber in the top classic car again and driving for Chip Ganassi. That is amazing. It happened at Petit Le Mans, very unexpected. This time you've had time to adapt to it mentally, physically, get prepared for this season. So how are you and Alex Lynn going to win the Rolex and the championship?
That's a really good question. I mean, first, it's just awesome to join Chip Ganassi Racing. I mean, they're such a formidable force in sports car racing and the world of motorsport. And, you know, if you look at the teams, if you're a driver and you want to join a team in your career, there's obviously certain brands that you want to drive for. You know, and to be able to drive for Chip in sports car racing with all the championships that he's won everywhere, you know, is a real honor. When I grew up as a kid, I watched Scott Dixon win IndyCar titles, and now to be obviously sharing the team with him, to be in the team with Chip and to see how they operate is really, really cool. And obviously we battled them for years in the Ford program. So, really excited to be there. Really excited to join Cadillac. Really cool program that they got going on. Really cool what's going on in the future as well. So just generally excited. And to be in the top class, I mean, that Rolex has escaped me so many times now. You know, it would be really nice to get on the podium, but also to get that win. And, you know, we did a first test with me and Alex together, and we sort of got on together really well with the same sort of age. So I think it's sort of a similar thing like what me and Lawrence had when we were at Porsche together. So I think that's going to be really nice, good camaraderie, got a good bit of banter already. So let's see how we go. We're just both like eager to get into it, and obviously with K-Mag joining and Marcus as well, they bring like really good input for the long races. So I think it's really, really good lineup, and I think we're going to shot it.
You're the type of person, you don't just focus on one denomination though. You've done the Xfinity starts, you look at all different aspects of racing. Chip Ganassi is the king of racing. He's got NASCAR, he's got IndyCar, he's got racing in the desert. How much of that are you going to get involved with this year too?
I mean, the only focus at the moment is a prototype.
No, but I mean even going to the races.
I definitely want to go see the Indy 500, to be honest. Like, I watched practice last year, but I'd love to see that race because it's just like one of the biggest races in the world. Like I said, they've got such interesting, diverse things doing different stuff, but I like how they just keep it simple and they just go racing. They love racing. You know, Chip loves winning. And I mean, also, what I really like about it is everyone loves racing there, and it's not just a line that you say. Like, we went testing, Petit, Chip's here, you know, and everyone's there, you know, so it's, you know, you know this sport well. You've really got to love racing to do it really well, because it is a lifestyle and it consumes your life. And that's what I like, is that everyone there is a bunch of racers that have a like-mindedness of that. So, you know, it's nice and refreshing, and it's a really good place to be. And like I said, they're expanding two cars now. Big challenge coming to the Rolex with two, but you know, they've got a really good bunch of guys. They know how to do it from the Ford days, as we know from the Porsche when we turned up and got beaten. But so that's why it's really interesting to join that organization, see the other side of the coin as well. And you know, I think we can be strong, we can build a good program, and looking forward to it.
Well, you said see the other side of it, but also you get to see the other side of the other side, which is behind the scenes of what Chip Ganassi has built. What's it like working with his engineering core versus what you've experienced in the past?
I mean, their engineering core is really strong. I mean, you don't win so many championships without a really impressive engineering shop. And like I touched on before, everyone there, they're racers. You know, they're in the shop day and night, like what you would expect, and everyone's got such a passion for it. Everyone's, you know, the fact that you can just speak openly and come up with ideas with each other and bounce different ideas off really makes an easy environment and an easy way to improve things really, really quickly. And I think that's one of their strengths and advantages as a very, very big race team, but in some ways still a small race team because of, you know, that sort of ableness to, how would you, duck and drive as what you need in racing. So, you know, it's really, like I said, it's really interesting to see behind the scenes. And like I said, really looking forward to getting out there. And we've been working hard. Now we've got to see how that lines up and pace and competitiveness against the others. And obviously I've done IMSA now for, I was thinking about it, it must be 7 years, which is a long time. But first time in prototype. So someone was like, well, you bring all this experience. And I'm like, well, yeah, but it's a different style of racing the DPI. So Alex and myself are learning what the DPI is about. It seems like it's much more of a sprint race than what it is in GT, where it's about fuel saving, tire mileage. Here, you know, the stint's only 35 minutes. It's flat out the whole way. So, you know, I think it's going to be definitely a learning curve at some of the tracks as well. But, you know, I think it's good to have the track knowledge and how the series works. And it was nice to get that cheeky one under the belt at Petit.
Well, and for that one in particular, you talk about Road Atlanta, small track, lots of cars, lots of traffic. You're busy the whole time. How much is that going to help here at Daytona? 61 cars, 3.54 miles. Oh, goodness.
It's going to be interesting. I'm curious how many green laps we actually get this weekend, you know, or certainly a clear lap.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's awesome for IMSA, you know, to have 61 cars back on the grid. I think that's the biggest grid since the merger.
Yep.
And, you know, you would almost say that this year was supposed to be like a transition year to LMDH, where they'd think, okay, well, there's not that many cars around. You got 61. So what does the future bring as well? We need more pit lane garages. But, you know, it's really, really positive for the sport, great for sports car racing as well, I think. So I'm looking forward to it. But I think you'll hear everyone complaining of traffic the whole way, whether you're a GTD, LMP3, DPI car. And I think it's going to be a matter of surviving. Maybe the race dynamic changes, we don't have as much green as what we had in the past. Who knows? Odder things have happened where we said, oh, there'll be heaps of safety cars and there's nothing. So yeah, we just have to see what happens.
Well, hopefully next Sunday. I'm asking you what time it is. Good luck.
Exactly. Thank you.
What's better than having one IMSA championship? Two. Lawrence Vantor, you knocked that out at the end of last year. Walking back through this paddock, now having two championships, anybody looking at you any different? Any different treatment?
I haven't really had time yet to check that because I literally just got here. But yeah, I mean, it's quite special. I remember when I came here in 2017, I didn't know anything, the tracks, the championship, back then also the team, the car, the tires, nothing. I felt like I started from zero. So now to look back and to have two championships is... It's really pleasing because it means we did a good job and what I was dreaming of worked out. But there's still one big dream which I'm missing so far, and that's why I'm here as well, is the 24 Hours of Daytona. It's a big race. I've come close a couple times, but no Rolex yet. So that would be the cherry on the cake. And let's see.
You have so many teammates. I'm not going to say former teammates because they are still your friends in this race. Is it strange racing against those people now?
Yeah, especially with Faf, because I had a really good relationship with them and still have. But I came here an hour ago and said hi to KCMG, the team. And I know some people there, some engineers from the past. And then I had to pick something up, Faf, and they're like, hey guys, and it felt like I was actually arriving and having to start to work, and like, yeah, no, you're just saying hi. So it's definitely awkward on that aspect. In terms of teammates, you kind of get used to that, because that's always kind of been the way it goes. So yeah, it's definitely sometimes it's like having a lot of ex-girlfriends at one place. It's a bit awkward.
That is a brilliant way to put it. I've never thought about it that way. In terms of racing against FAF, though, you know how strong they are. Daytona seems, for whatever reason, to be the weak link in their accomplishments. They haven't been able to do that yet. You've at least been on the podium a few times, third and then second the following year. What does it take to really be successful at this race?
Well, good question, because I haven't won it neither, but I think it's mainly patience and staying out of trouble. Like in every 24-hour race, you need to stay out of trouble and be smart, and obviously have a quick car to do it. But you know, it's a long race, and so many things can go wrong. Especially this year with so many cars, it's even more important to stay out of the trouble. It may sound strange because we're racing from the first get-go until the end, but yeah, you need to be smart. That's the biggest thing, I think.
61 cars in the field means that the majority of cars you're going to be racing against, because they'll be GT cars, but there's going to be a lot of cars passing every lap. Is it strange to now be in the slowest category, but know that you're not the slowest category in some sense, being in the pro class?
That's always the difficulty in motorsport in general to explain, because we have different classes, and obviously DPI is the main class and they win the race overall. But it's not always the case, and I'm not saying that for this race, but that class is actually more difficult or stronger than, for example, the GT class. I always look back at Le Mans in 2018 when we won. We had 16 works cars.
Good point.
And LMP1 had 4 cars. But still, to a random people on the street, you haven't won Le Mans in general. And if you explain those people, it's like you're driving in the lower class. That's technically how it is, but it's not really the case. It's very difficult even now to explain. So it's the only downside I always found from racing GT, because I love racing GT, and the field is, like this year, is super strong and all the good drivers are there. But you're not running the race overall, even though sometimes it might be of a bigger field. That's the name of the game, I guess.
Is a Porsche still a Porsche, even though it's not red plaid, it's shiny blue, driving with KCMG? Is it still going to be a very similar car to drive as to what took you to a championship last year?
Yeah, I think so, because even every Porsche is different, every car is different, but races like this, we have a lot of support from Porsche. So there is, for example, a setup, advisory setup to start with. And, you know, I know what we drove as well a little bit with FAF last races in year, and how this car is. So it's always going to be different. And it's the thing I learned as well. You need to kind of let go of the past. Like, it doesn't make sense for me to come here and tell KCMG, hey, you need to put the car like this, because that's how it worked last year. It's first of all a bad impression to the team, and second of all, it changes all the time, and maybe different things are better or works evenly well. So you just need to be open-minded with it.
You've spent a little bit of time in Florida preparing for the race, doing a lot of bike riding around the west coast of Florida. How much does that help you when you're coming from a cold climate to then throw yourself in? You adapt a few days early, a few weeks early, actually, in your case.
Yeah, it's definitely always useful, first of all, for the time zone difference, climate difference. And, you know, it's little things. I know, because I always go bike riding really early. I know it gets cold in the morning. It doesn't get cold at midnight.
Yeah.
That's what I said to my engineers. Hey, remind you, here in Florida, it gets cold in the morning, not at midnight, like in Europe. And, I mean, it's not that it's going to make us win the race, but it always helps to be somewhere a bit earlier and be adapted. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, it's not always possible with a full calendar. But I enjoy spending time here. Done that the last couple of years.
Well, you've got 2 championship watches from IMSA. I really hope you get that Rolex this year.
Unfortunately, I don't think I will have it a long time because that's every year my wife says to bring back the Rolex and it's mine. So we'll see about that.
You can have it for the plane ride.
Yeah.
It's back home again for Richard Highstand, back with the Lexus team. You got the proper logo on your chest, a race winner in a Lexus, pole winner in a Lexus. Do you feel like this is the year where you get the Rolex in the Lexus?
I hope so. I think we've got a great driver lineup. It's obviously a fantastic team, and it's good to be home. It's hard to describe, but when in 2019 they were essentially a new team themselves, you know, Jimmy and Sully obviously have a lot of experience in motorsports, but this was their first entry into sports car racing as a team owner. And I had been away from racing for a very long time and had never done sports car racing, and they took a chance on me, and we were all new together, and we had some nice moments. And unfortunately, you'd love to go back and rewrite history, but it would have been nice to have continued together. I think we both in certain ways feel that way, but that's not the way it worked out. And so coming back now, just the team has grown. I have grown as a driver. Kind of seeing that at the test we did was also a nice feeling. And I think we've got a great shot. But like anything, this is a 24-hour race, right? So I wish anything was guaranteed in racing. It'd be nice, but it's not. We just have to make sure that, you know, we don't make any mistakes. I know the car will be very well prepped. Get to the last 4 hours. We have the crew and the lineup and the experience to do that. And then we'll see what temperature it is outside, how fast the other car we're racing is, and hopefully we have a chance to go for it and win it.
Is it different not racing your teammate in this race? In effect, you both are going for your own wins for the first time for Lexus.
It is different. I'll be honest, I think, you know, I was hoping where I was last year and in this, you know, I'd love to race in the pro class. I think we have the ability to do it, and I think that's why our lineup is so strong. So it is a little bit different. We're going to run our own race, you know, and that's always the case. Whether we were in the same class or not, we're going to run our own race. And if that means some GTD pro cars are in front of us, if that means some GTD pro cars are behind us, that's fine too. We're going to do our thing, and we're going to do what we know we need to do with the car to keep it in good condition for the end.
Sharing a car with Frankie, Aaron, and Townsend, those are three solid drivers in and of themselves, and you know them well, having been a part of the program. But what's it like to actually have your name on the car with them instead of being the ones you're fighting against?
I don't feel a lot from that because I've known that, like you say, I've known them a long time. And actually last year I ran 8 races and I was competing against Aaron.
Yeah.
Quite a bit, and Frankie some too. That it was sprint, and then the year before I ran 3 races in IMSA and I went to Le Mans. And so you know how endurance races are. Just when I was in the car, whatever, there actually was a start at Sebring where I was, you know, duking it out with them a little bit. So to be fair, you know, but it's like any sport. We're competitors, but we know each other well. We respect each other. You get to a certain level in a sport, and you respect everybody that has achieved that kind of level of competency because you know how hard it is. And so you don't come in that way. You come in fighting the world, but you get to a certain point, you respect everybody, and I'm just glad they're my teammates because I know they're very good drivers.
Very well put. You mentioned sprint last year. Endurance is obviously your passion, though. The Le Mans entry was big for you, winning the Aiken Award a few years back. Now you're doing the endurance role this year. Is that because endurance racing is more of your passion?
Not necessarily. You know, I like them both. I think about that sometimes to myself. Yeah. Which do I like more? Well, I like sprint racing. I'm an aggressive driver.
Yeah.
I think I've done a good job when I have run sprint of finding ways to move forward, not backwards.
Mm-hmm.
Have a good record as well of keeping the car intact.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't race that way in endurance. You race it different. But there is something about endurance racing, a stubbornness, like a stubborn, like iron willness of like, you're going to get in every time and you're just, your concentration, it's never going to fade. You're going to make the right decisions. That's what you're telling yourself. You're going to make the right decisions the whole way through. If you get some sleep, great. If you don't get some sleep, you're still going to do the job right. And it's just like this kind of crazy, like, you know, iron will type thing that I also find like super appealing. I loved it at Le Mans because there were only three of us, and yes, I definitely did not sleep. So both are nice. And this, and as far as why I'm doing this, it's the opportunity that existed right now. Love to do more, but let's go out and let's get some results in these ones and win some of the big ones.
I love it. So is Daytona your primary goal for this year? Would that make everything else worth it?
You know, as a racing driver amongst each other, I think the greatest respect, to be honest, I think is Sebring.
Yeah.
Winning Sebring is the hardest one.
Mm-hmm.
And then Le Mans. And then I would say Daytona, to be fair, is third on the list in terms of difficulty.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of prestige, of course I want that watch.
Yeah.
I want to say I've won the Rolex 24 Daytona. I want those three races in general. If you could walk away from a career winning them, that would be a wonderful thing. I hope I get to stick around long enough to get enough shots at them, you know, to do that.
Richard, good luck this year. I hope you knock at least a couple of them off the list.
Thank you very much.
It's kind of a strange thing that Tom Blomqvist is definitely not a rookie to IMSA, having raced in it with BMW, having found success, found the podium, but you've never raced at Daytona. This is your first time racing at Daytona, and it's in the top class. Meyer-Shank Racing, you got the pink and black overalls on, Acura DPI. How did you get this lucky?
Yeah, you touched on it. I mean, funnily enough, it's the first time I've done this race. I did the whole season aside of Daytona. Had a bit of a cock-up with a visa a few years back, so let's not go there. But yeah, I'm really excited, not only for this race, but the new challenge, you know, joining MSR with the Acura and the DPI. I'm really excited. You know, I had a good season last year was a bit of a mixed season, formerly WEC in the LMP2 class. And I really enjoyed, you know, driving the prototypes, and had a good year there, and that led to basically an opportunity to test with Mike, and he liked what he saw and kind of offered me something off the back of that. And actually I was very close to continuing my Formula E deal, and you know, I had to weigh the options up, and I thought, you know, the sports car scene over the coming years is definitely growing. It's going to be huge, and you know, I really enjoy this kind of racing and these cars, so it was a perfect fit, really, and a great opportunity to be back over here in the States. And yeah, with the future looking so bright, you know, that obviously, yeah, that led to, well, here I am.
You had a lot of success in WEC last year. I mean, you played it down, but it was, what, four wins by the time the year was out?
No, we didn't win anything, but we podiumed, like, almost every race bar one.
Oh, that's what it was.
Yeah, we were leading the championship going into the last two rounds, and yeah, WRT, the eventual winners, just got us. They had a real super strong end to the season. But yeah, I mean, we finished second countless times.
Jeez.
Every time, but yeah, second, third. Le Mans was a highlight. You know, we 7 attempts away from winning the race, and we were coming really strong at the end. So that was a bummer, but yeah, we had a great season. And that kind of opened my eyes to the sports car scene. And you know, I know from, you know, my driving and, you know, growing up in single seaters and you know, with high downforce cars, and you know, that's really what I feel most comfortable in. It suits me, and I'm glad to kind of be back there, really.
Well, and the thing I was getting at, and forgive me for getting that wrong, was that you share the car with two other drivers for every round of WEC. For here, yeah, you've got four driver lineup, but for almost every other race, it's just you and Ollie Jarvis. Is there some appeal in sharing the car with only one other guy?
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, obviously, the style of racing is a little bit different over here. The main races throughout the season are generally a little bit shorter, so you don't need three. But it just makes life easier, you know. It's just two of you working together with your engineers, working together with the team, you know, all working towards achieving the same goal. So, you know, I haven't known Ollie actually. I mean, knowing of Ollie for many, many years.
Really?
But, like, personally, not really, you know, and then. So I've just got to know him, you know, end of last year and this year, and yeah, I really enjoy working with him. He's a fun guy, loves a chat, loves a chat. Can go for hours. He's still going. Look at him over there. He's on it. But yeah, I'm looking forward to the season with Ollie. So, and hopefully we, you know, he's had a lot of success with Mazda. He's got a, done a, well, he's got a load of experience. So, you know, he can really help, you know, drive the team forward as well. And hopefully we can have a successful year.
He's a guy, you're in for a real treat. He is a lot of fun, and he's very good on these American circuits. You've got the 1 year of GT experience here.
Yeah.
What's the track that you're looking forward to going back to the most?
My favorite tracks here are definitely Road America, Road Atlanta, and Watkins Glen. They're definitely my three favorites. Road America for me is probably my most favorite, just because, you know, Road Atlanta is super fun to drive, but, you know, there's not, ultimately there's not that many corners there, you know. It's it's this, whereas Road America, there's a, you know, there's a bit more of a technical aspect to it. There's a lot more corners, you know, and you can kind of make a difference, a bit more of a difference. So I really enjoyed driving that track when I was here a few years back. So I'm definitely looking forward to getting back there. Moss Sport will be interesting in this car. It's going to be crazy fast. I remember in the M8, in the BMW, it was fast. In GTE, so GTLM, sorry. So I think in this thing, it's going to be off the charts. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to it.
Having the experience in the lower class cars, although they are different now as to what they were then, how much does that help you when you're going to be dicing through traffic? And there's going to be a lot of traffic. Yeah.
There's going to be a crazy amount of traffic this year to deal with. So, I mean, I'm used to dealing with traffic, but I think here's a, it's another level again. So, and the speed differences are even huge, even bigger. You know, with the P3s, the GTDs, you know, I'm used to dealing with, you know, with P2 car, which isn't as quick as a DPI, and the GTD car, which is much, which is a few seconds faster than a GTD. So, yeah, it's going to be a challenge. It's going to be a huge challenge. And that's something I probably need to get my head around, you know, a bit early doors. But the good thing is I know all the, most of the tracks. The only track I don't know is Detroit. And that makes my life a lot easier. Because when I came here in 2019, I had to learn every track, you know. So it doesn't help. It's always a bit more difficult. So I know the most of the tracks. So, yeah, I mean, I don't... Aside of that, you know, there's not so much. You know, you kind of understand a little bit in traffic. We still have to dice our way through the GTDs. And obviously I was used to looking in my mirrors for these boys. So, yeah, I mean, it's definitely experience that's going to help me. It's not going to be a hindrance whatsoever. But, yeah, it's going to be a different kettle of fish for sure.
It's a bit funny that you don't even need your mirrors now in this class, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I have a nice luxury, like, LCD screen, rear view mirror. Happy days. Yeah, so hopefully I'm not looking too much in my mirrors. And if I am, it's because I'm, like, trying to defend for the win. But other than that, I hope I don't use them too much. So, yeah.
Good luck at the Rolex. Thanks. And better luck through the season.
Cheers. Thanks, Jay. Thank you.
This is RS2. RS2.
Part of the Radio Show Limited Network.
Daytona debut for a North America IMSA champion. Seb Priou, how cool is it that you get to be here, you get to drive a prototype, and hey, you got a chance of winning a Rolex.
I know, I mean, it's what a dream, right, for a young guy. So I'm, you know, I'm excited. It's different, you know. I'd love to win a Rolex. That would be one of the things on the checklist, right? So, yeah, but I mean, for me, it's a new experience. You know, I've got to take each day as it comes. It's a long race. It's not like a sprint race. So, yeah, I've got to take a bit of time to learn and adapt. But, yeah, I'm excited.
This Sean Creech team, it's got so much experience on it. Lance Wilsey's done this race a lot before, but Joao Barbosa's won this race a lot before. How much are you just sitting back and soaking in everything that Joao has to say?
I mean, I know Joe very well. He's what a driver he is. He's great. He's won this, what, three or four times. So, yeah, I mean, what an awesome job he's done to do that. So I'm learning from him. And, yeah, this is something that I've been wanting to do for a while. And the guys, you know, Sean Creech, give me opportunity to do it with Multimatic, which is great. So, yeah, it's a good experience and something that I could never do it again. You know, it's something that I've been waiting for a long time. So I'm going to give it everything I've got.
The Porsche Carrera Cup North America, presented by the Cayman Islands, that's a series that runs at a lot of the IMSA tracks, but not Daytona. Has this been the track that you've had circled in red Sharpie, just dying to come here?
Yeah, I mean, I've done it once before in the GT4, mm-hmm. but I haven't been here for a while, so yeah. I need to readjust my mind to it a bit. But, you know, it's a fairly nice track to learn. It's not too difficult. It's just, you know, you're going through the dark where it's cold. It's different, right, to what I'm used to, like I said. So the Porsche itself is a lovely car, but it's different to this. So a lot less aero. So I need to, you know, work myself up and get used to that car. It's going to be different.
And sharing the car, that's going to be different too. Three other guys who've got to have a good setup on it.
I mean, yeah, this is a, you know, it's a team game, this one now, rather than just myself. So you've got to drive with things you might not like, but you know, it's a team. That's why how you win the Rolex. It's not just you. You've got to have the whole team around you to win it. So I'm going to do everything I've got to do that. But yeah, my dad's done it many times and hasn't won it. So, you know, it's not easy.
So if you bring the Rolex home, you're going to be wearing it every time you go to dinner to see him, right?
Yeah, he'll be jealous of that. Yeah. But actually, well, it was my 21st birthday like 2 days ago.
Yeah,
and he gave me his Rolex that he first bought. So that was really special for me. Oh. So it's a Daytona GMT too. So I'm going to look after it.
That's a good dad to give you that. You've got some friends in the field as well. The one that I'm thinking of is Austin Cindric, driving in a Mercedes. You guys going to give each other a little extra space, help each other out, block other cars?
No, we'll hit each other. I'm kidding. No, we'll give, obviously, there's some respect there. We race together and, yeah. But, you know, when we're out on track, it's always difficult to know who's in the car and all that. But, I mean, you know, always give space, always give enough space. So, but we get on really well. So, and also Harry Tittner, I know really well. He's with Multimatic and, you know, we joke a bit and all that. So, yeah, but it's going to be good to be on track with these guys. I've never done it before, so, yeah.
Oh, man. And what's it like to all of a sudden be racing a prototype? That's a different experience.
Yeah, this is the big boy stuff, right?
Yeah.
So it's fast, it's different. Yeah, you're part of the big top grid here. So, you know, we're the third fastest car on track now. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, it's really good. I'm excited.
This team finished second last year. They know what they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, they were leading pretty much quite a lot of the race I saw from last year. So the Riley guys are going to be quick. You know, the rest of the field, there's a lot of new guys coming in. So it's going to be tough, but you know, I think we've got a really good chance to win this race. But it's just about keeping the car in one piece and not getting hit off or, you know, making a mistake. That's the thing. It's 24 hours of racing, so anything can happen.
More important to look inward than outwards, right? You don't want to watch the competition. You want to pay attention to yourselves.
It's like I said, it's not a sprint race, so you can pace it, and you don't have to be the qualifying lap every lap. So yeah, I'm just going to go out there and be consistent, quick, fuel save, whatever I need to do to win this race.
I can tell how excited you are for this race. Do you think it'll even be possible to sleep during it?
I don't think so. I don't even sleep when I'm like getting ready for a test, so this is going to be hard to sleep.
Oh,
I may
geez.
Just rest my eyes a bit, but
yeah.
The adrenaline, I'm always quite adrenaline person, so it's going to be difficult for me to relax. But yeah, I'm ready. I'm keep hydrated, keep focused, and do what I can.
So since Dad gave you a Rolex for your birthday, do you think if you went home you might give him yours?
I might give his back. But no, well, you know, we'll share it. If I do win this watch, which is a dream, I'll definitely keep it on my you know, windowsill at home. So yeah, but hey, we're not there yet. We've got some time to do. So yeah, I want to dream about it, but yeah, I want to just see it on my wrist at one point.
Long way to go, Seb. Good luck.
Thank you very much.
First ever Rolex 24 for Till Bechtolsheimer. Till, you did a full sprint calendar last year. You're doing the full endurance calendar this year. So one full season of racing across 2 years. I love it. What was the inspiration to go to the long races this year?
I mean, I've always wanted to do the long races since I first raced in IMSA, whatever it was, 6-7 years ago, in Continental Tire Challenge at the time. I kind of had my eyes set on Daytona and the three big races in general, or four big races in general, I should say. So been wanting to do it for years, finally get to do it this year. You know, we finally got the budget together to do it this year and have a great team in place. So feels like it's the right time to be doing it.
Gradient Racing is the only Acura in the field. Now, traditionally, when there's only one car of that category in the field, they tend to do pretty well, and particularly for a season long. Are you guys looking beyond this race, thinking about winning the Endurance Championship, or just the Rolexes?
I mean, the Rolexes are pretty important, I think. So, no, I think we're going to give it our all for this race, and then kind of worry about the rest of the season after that. Not sure we're really in a position to be playing too many games here. So I think we're, you know, and it's the Rolex 24. It's my first time doing it. So if it's up to me anyway, we're going to be going all out for you know, the best result possible this weekend.
Kiffin Simpson, for him, it's his first Rolex as well. For Mark Miller and Mario Fambacher, they're guys who are, well, adept at this race. How have you guys been asking them for advice, and have they been giving you any useful advice on the race?
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge help for both Kiffin and I to have experience. Co-drivers like Mark and Mario, and you know, actually just at the beginning of this week they sent us a pretty lengthy document with a lot of detail around, you know, how they're thinking about the track, every single corner. You know, I've raced at Daytona a number of times, but it's still really helpful to have that wealth of knowledge. Especially, you know, I've been learning from Mark for a number of years. Mario brings another different dynamic, so that's helpful as well. But you know, it's just the raw starts tomorrow, so I think it's most of that learning is going to happen in the next few days.
What are you guys expecting as far as drive time for the Roar is concerned? Because it is something new. You know the track, you know the car, but you don't really know the car at the track. Is that going to affect how much drive time you get during the practice sessions?
Yeah, I mean, I got to race at Daytona, was it the year before last? Mm-hmm. It was a sprint season, was it?
Yes.
Last year?
I'm getting my years confused. 2020,
yeah. Okay. With all COVID mixed up, we had that catch-up race at Daytona. Mm-hmm. So I got to drive the NSX at Daytona, obviously different track temperatures, I think different tires as well, so yeah. Quite different, but at least some experience, which will be helpful. I think Kiffin's got a little bit of time in an NSX, but way less than me, let alone the other two drivers, so I think it's going to be important to give him plenty of drive time. You know, how much I get, I kind of let the team decide. I'll do as I'm told.
Is it still the same brilliant minds up on the pit box that we're so used to?
Yeah, for sure. I think different driver lineup this year, but other than that, the team at Gradient is largely the same. So which is great. I'm looking forward to another season with the same team.
Full season for the Endurance Championship. That means that the two guys that you drove with last year, Mario and Mark, going to be back with you for four races this year. How excited are you to share the car with not one but two of your friends?
Yeah, I mean, I'm really excited. It's a little sad not to be at more weekends than just four weekends over the course of the year, but it's kind of helpful for me because I'm expecting my first kid this year, so thank you very much. Yeah, so
of which variety do we know?
A boy.
Congrats.
So yeah, and so it's kind of helpful not to have so many weekends away, but yeah, it's going to be great to share it all with Mark and Mario.
Wouldn't it be nice to give him his first Rolex too? That would be fun.
It's a nice idea. I'll try and make that happen. Yeah.
Excellent. Well, good luck, Till, and we'll be watching the Gradient Acura with lots of expectations.
Thanks a lot, Shane. Appreciate it.
Well, Marcus Ericsson, in IndyCar, you get to work with a great engineer who's accomplished at winning the Daytona 24 with Brad. Now you're here at the Daytona 24. What's it like to be at the Speedway and know that there's a car with your name on it?
It's very exciting. It's something I've been trying to do since I came here to America, three years ago. It's been sort of, one of my big targets to do this race, and to get the chance with Chip Ganassi Racing is definitely something I'm very proud of and very excited about.
It's a really cool effort, too, because in essence, they've split the All-Star lineup, but there are no weak links in either of the Cadillacs. So you guys working together, two cars, really one?
Yeah, I think we have an extremely good lineup on both cars, you know, with really good drivers. And, I think us two groups working together, we're going to be extremely strong. I'm liking our chances for sure.
This race is one of the big ones for the remainder of the schedule, though. Sebring, Watkins Glen, Petit Le Mans. There are opportunities for you to race other big races in the U.S. Got your eye on that?
Yeah, I would love to. I think at the moment, my focus is on this race and then the IndyCar season. Mm-hmm. But if it goes well and Chip wants me to do some more races, I'm definitely not going to turn that down.
For sure. It's such a cool thing to be able to dabble in both divisions of it, to drive the open wheel cars and the DPI. Does the DPI feel a bit like a luxury car after driving the IndyCar? There's so many features to help you.
Yeah, it does. It does feel quite nice to drive. Actually, you know, the IndyCar is very brutal, and you have to be very aggressive with that car to be fast. And feels like the DPI car is, you know, with all the systems in it, it's definitely a nicer car to drive in a way, and you sort of get into a rhythm a bit easier. So it's probably good with doing the 24 hours in a DPI car and not an Indy car.
Oh my gosh, that would be torture. Is it a different thing now that you're a race winner in IndyCar? You've won on American soil. Does it feel any different coming into another series?
Yeah, for sure. I think, you know, I've done 3 years now in IndyCar, and like I said, I've won a couple of races now and sort of proven myself here in America. So I definitely go into this race and this season with you know, higher confidence and knowing that I can, you know, deliver on this level. So it definitely makes a big difference.
The traffic aspect is something that you don't have to deal with in IndyCar. Well, not usually, but here, multi-class racing, 60 other cars on the track. Let me think about this. 55 of them are slower than you. That's going to be different.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy, I think. You know, so many cars, and the track is, it's not that long, you know. So it's going to be so many cars at the same place all the time. So I think we're going to be just constantly overtaking people. So that's something, you know, I need to really get up to speed too quickly, because that's going to be key for the race, you know, to go through traffic in a good way. So it's something I've been studying, you know, going into this weekend. You know, I've been trying to study a lot on boards and stuff like that to sort of see how you go through traffic in the best possible way. And I'm sure, you know, going to lean on my more experienced teammates there as well to try and get some help and advice from them how to do it in a good way. So it's definitely going to be key.
You say more experienced teammates, but you've got Kevin, who's done this race once. You've got Alex, who's never done this race. And you've got Earl, who's done this race several times, but never in the top class. So for all of you, you're kind of, in a sense, learning it together, right?
Yeah, we're a little bit less experienced maybe than the one group there. But I think, you know, Kevin, he did it last year. And Earl is one of the best sports car racers in the world, you know. So they're all very, very strong, and Alex as well. You know, he's done some Le Mans races and everything. So I think we still have a good experience there. And in the end of the day, we're all fast race drivers, you know, and that's what you need to win this race.
You guys are all around the same age. Has there been a friendship circle developing between you?
Yeah, definitely. You know, we get along really well, and we've been out having breakfast and dinners here every other day. So it's been fun, you know, getting to know them a bit more. And I think, you know, we already have a really good atmosphere, and it's something, since I came to Chip Ganassi Racing, has always been like that. You know, we in the IndyCar group, we have such a good atmosphere there and work so well together, and it feels like it's the same here in the IMSA camp.
Well, sports car racing is a big family. Welcome to this family, and it's good to see you here.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Well, he's got the watch on his wrist already. Corey Lewis, what are you going to do if you get another one? Is it going to go on your right arm?
Yeah. One for each wrist, I think, would be ideal. And I don't care how funny it looks, I'm going to do it.
I think you should. We come back to this race. Lamborghini, once again, 3 wins in the last 4 years for that manufacturer. But it's a new team for you this year. What's it like working with Carbon, with Paragon Racing?
So far, I mean, it's very, very fresh, meeting everybody literally yesterday, last night, and then again this morning. So still learning new names, and I wish everyone wore like a name tag. Would make my life a lot easier. But no, in all honesty, it's been great so far. Everyone's we same goal in mind. New team, new atmosphere. I'm up for the challenge. It's kind of somewhat refreshing. You know, like you mentioned in the past, the Lamborghini has been strong here, and we've had a lot of success the last 2-3 years as my recent team at Paul Miller Racing. So I'm hopeful that I can bring my experience to Carbon Racing and my teammates with Jeff, Rob, and Sandy. And, you know, we'll see how this thing shakes out. I know it's going to be a massive field, so I think just battle or survival at this point will be crucial.
It's still a Lamborghini. Am I wrong in thinking it is the Lamborghini that you're used to for driving?
Well, it is the Lamborghini that I've raced with at Paul Miller Racing for sure last year. Very, very familiar with that exact chassis and the car itself. So it's kind of rinse, wash, repeat in a way in terms of the car. So I'm hopeful I can hit the ground running and feel right at home.
Is it like being reunited with a girlfriend when it's the same car, even though it's different people setting her up?
Well, usually, you know, I don't know if it's necessarily an ex, you know. That could be a bad story. and then your friends make fun of you.
Estranged. Let's go with estranged.
Estranged, I guess, works. Yeah. Somewhat, yeah. You know, it's maybe a girl you met years ago, but in this case, it was last year. So, you know, some things work out, and you rekindle, you know. So I think that's where we're in the rekindling phase, and hopefully we can start this relationship off in a happy place.
The mind on the pit box for Carbon that's led them to championships in GS, finishing first in 19 and second in 20, I want to say, maybe. I could be off by a year. Steve Dinan. Yeah. He's a legend. He's the kind of guy that people wait their whole careers to work with. You getting to work with him now, how excited are you?
Obviously, you always hear great things about Steve. And now to finally have the opportunity to work with him and to work with him all season in endurance races, I'm really much looking forward to. And, you know, we haven't been on the box just yet, but I'm looking forward to practice one and understanding his lingo on the radio and seeing how well he and I can bond together. Again, with the experience that I have in the race car, I'm hopeful that he and I are on the same wavelength in terms of terminology of how we say things and whatnot. So super excited about that, to work with Steve Dinan and, again, everybody on this race team. It's been a pleasure so far.
In terms of driver rotation, third drivers normally don't get as much seat time. It's just how it shakes out for the endurance races. But we're coming to Daytona, and there's a fourth driver. Good thing it's Sandy Mitchell. He's got a lot of seat time in Lamborghinis as well. How much are you two expecting to actually drive the car when Jeff and Robert are new to it?
It's actually a good question. I don't know the rotation of how things are going to play out just yet, but I do know it's been hinted on that we will be giving a lot of time to nice. Jeff and Rob, and rightfully so. We want them to feel comfortable. For Sandy and I, it's something we're very, very familiar with, and we're both very quick in these race cars, thankfully. So I don't expect to be driving a ton, but you know, anything I can do to help make the process easier for Jeff and Rob is my goal. So that's it.
The team worked with an Audi last year. It's no state secret that the Audi and the Lamborghini are very, very, very similar. If you look hard enough, you might see four rings on a Lamborghini, but it should be less of a transition than coming from a different car, right? The team should be on a better foot than if they'd come from, say, a McLaren.
Yeah, no, I believe it's very similar, and a lot of the things that the guys have mentioned already on the crew, it's nearly identical. To your point, you could almost see the Audi rings on the chassis and some of the bodywork. So it's very, very similar, and I know the guys are happy with how things have transitioned, and it seems like everyone again is hitting the ground running and is looking forward to see how we get on.
You've done this race a fair few times now. What's your favorite part of it?
Favorite time? Oh, obviously when you win. I hope I can cry again like a little baby. That'd be amazing to get another watch. But from a driving standpoint, I would really have to say the night racing is always a pleasure here. Mm-hmm. And for whatever reason, I have this thing with the fireworks. Every time I always asked if I could be in the car during the fireworks. I don't know, it's just something special. You know, I almost get chills just kind of talking about it. It's once in a lifetime type of thing, and to have it happen a few times and be grateful enough to be in this race a handful of times now. Yeah, I always like the fireworks. It's just something special, and the photos always come out cool. So very sentimental in that. So I think from the driving standpoint, obviously the night racing is great, and but yeah, fireworks are neat.
Well, Corey, I hope you get to experience that first one again. And if you're crying like a little baby, I'm going to stick a mic under your nose and make it public. You know that, right?
That's totally fine. I will be completely okay with that. And my fingers are crossed that actually happens.
It's a rare thing when a champion of American sports car racing makes their debut in IMSA, but that's the case for Jordan Pepper. Jordan, you had an insanely successful season last year in the SRO. A lot of different tracks, though, compared to what we run on, and nothing like Daytona. What was it like driving in here?
It was an amazing year. Like, I haven't, since I've been like driving professionally, I haven't had a season that I've enjoyed so much. And yeah, it's easy to say you enjoy it because of the successes and stuff like that, but I think it's just the style of racing over in the US that I enjoy so much, like driving with K-Pax. Obviously, they're a well-known American team, and you know, all the people are so friendly. Everyone wants to give it their 110%. So as a driver, when you pitch up to work every day, like, you just as motivated to give it your 110%. And I just love it. And the tracks remind me much of South Africa, old school, no track limits, none of that stuff. So it was like a trip back home in that sense. And I think that's just what made it so much fun. And then to wrap up the championship and stuff was so cool. And but you know, like I've always thought, like I want to do something in IMSA. Like Daytona's like the race everyone wants to do in America. So when I got the call up to drive with the with Inception, I was like, yeah, hands down, I'm doing it. So this was it was the easiest decision I ever had to make. Super excited to be here. It's quite, I don't know, a lot to take in. I think first time coming down the stretch last night, seeing Daytona Beach, seeing all the track and stuff, I was like, oh, this is really getting cool. So we've got a week to soak it up with the Raw, but then I think we'll get going, hopefully quite strong. I think we're going to be the question mark, I think, to everyone. McLaren's kind of new to the scene. There's not many McLarens, there's only two of us. But I think we got a really tidy operation, really strong driver lineup. So although we're all rookies, a lot of the team's rookies. I think there's only one team member on the team who's done the race before. They have the experience from Petit Le Mans where they did really well. They didn't get a good result, obviously, with the crash. But I think we should be good.
This is a race that fellow Bentley boy of yours, Jules Gagnon, seems to just adore. Was it him talking it up to you at first that got your ears perked?
No, I remember just like tuning in when I was a young kid still as soon as like I could on like IMSA TV. I remember watching it and stuff and watching races like, for example, like 2000, I think it was like 16 with like Rene Rast when they won it. Well, even actually before that with like the Flying Lizard Audi and stuff like that, with watching those races, that was where I was like, just as I kind of broke into the European scene of racing myself, it's when I started to watch a lot more GD stuff. And Daytona, I was like, man, I really want to do that race. So that's what got me hyped. And then for years hearing Jules tell me how good the race was now, I was like, man, I have to get out there. So like last year, I wanted to try get a seat. I just struggled a bit. But this year, managed to do it. And I think it's going to be good for me. I want to crack into the IMSA scene. I want to be a full-time. Like I said to you, I love racing in America. So like, I know it sounds bad, but like I would take America all the time over Europe. Even though Europe gave me my start, I love America, so I want to race over here and just get part of the culture a lot more. So I think IMSA is the best way to do it in the sports car scene for sure.
Well, and you got a smattering of some of the tracks. You got a little bit of a taste last year with the SRO schedule. IMSA's schedule is actually quite different. What's the track that you would most like to have the opportunity to have a go on?
I think Daytona. Yeah. So we here, obviously, Daytona. I think Road Atlanta is also another mega track that I would love to do. I've done quite a bit. We did obviously a lot of the tracks interlink. I guess there's the odd track like Belle Isle would be cool, and it's like one of, I think it's just last year, this year,
yes,
to
is.
Do. So that would be like something it would be cool to do. If I don't do it, it's a shame. It won't be the end of my life. But I just, all the tracks are so good. So I've done like Laguna before with the Intercontinental. I've done, what else? I think Mid-Ohio is maybe one of the only other ones I haven't done. I heard it's fun track to drive in the dry, not the wet. So yeah, I don't know. I think there's so many cool tracks here. Like there's not a bad one. I don't think I've watched a race, an American race or IMSA race or anything, where the racing's been bad. Like everything brings action, which is cool.
You've driven so many different marquees over the last couple of years, Bentley, Lamborghini last year. Now this McLaren, what are you expecting from it? As you said, it's a bit of a dark horse in the field, but you got a better feeling for it than we do.
Yeah, I drove it obviously at Spa last year. We actually were really fast. Like, we were really good. We just had a small technical issue, which was like not seen before the race. It caught up on us. But at the end of the day, I think it's a really strong package. It's the way you extract time out of it's very different to all the other cars. It's similar, I would say, to the Lambo because of the mid-engine, which I'm more used to now than before. I obviously drove a lot of front-engine cars like the Bentley, the BMW beforehand, a couple of that. So it's a tricky one. It's hard to say, but it's a car I enjoyed driving when I did drive it. So I think here on the Michelin tire, I also heard the cars a bit better on the Michelin than the Pirellis were. So I think we should be good. And looking at the layout of the track, I think it could suit us. Like, it's hard to know. No, we don't really know where we stack up till we get out there, but I have quite high hopes on us doing good. I think everyone does, so.
Well, with all four drivers in the car, you mentioned rookies, What's the expectation for drive time going to be like in the Roar?
What's important for us is obviously Brendan and Ollie are same like me. They haven't, well, and Fred, none of us have been yet, but I think Brendan and Ollie are going to be doing the qualifying race, so we're going to prioritize them a lot more now for the Roar. And then lead up to next week, me and Fred will probably drive a little bit more should they be comfortable. I think that's how we're going to play it. We're just going to see who adapts quicker and then just adjust it. It is hard knowing that, you know, like some teams, they have the luxury of all being here, so it's easy. But for us, yeah, we have to just see.
Serious underdogs, black horse for the McLaren. Good luck in the race.
Thank you. Thank you.
That was Jordan Pepper with Inception Racing, and I hope you've enjoyed listening to just a smattering of some of the drivers who I was able to talk to today here at the Roar before the 24. It's the 60th running of the Rolex 24 Hours of Daytona this year. You can tell that everyone is pumped. Tune in again tomorrow, same place, same time, and you'll hear even more. We've only gotten through, I'm not going to tell you exactly how many drivers percentage-wise, but let's put it this way. There's a lot more to come. But for now, I'm Shay Adam with IMSA Radio. Thanks for listening, and see you tomorrow.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production. For more, check imsaradio.com and subscribe to IMSA Radio wherever you get your podcasts.